Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 47 degrees with light rain falling. Today's Thursday, October 6th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Sitka voters soundly rejected a proposed property tax hike on Tuesday, but that doesn't necessarily mean the town is anti-tax. The community has stepped forward several times over the last 15 years to raise taxes, often by wide margins. But not once in that period have voters ever raised the property tax. For most of the recent past, Sitka's sales tax was a year-round 4%. Voters in 1996 agreed to bump it up to 5% for 3 years to remodel the old downtown post office into a new city hall. The tax was due to revert to 4% in 2000, but the threatened end to municipal revenue sharing from the state loomed over the city's budget in 1999, and voters reauthorized the 5% sales tax to make sure the city could pay its bills. They did so again in 2003. But while voters were willing to go to 5% in those years, they were unwilling to go to 6%, or at least not for a new sports complex. Voters in 2001 solidly rejected raising the sales tax to 6% to help fund school activities and to build a sports facility. The margin was 2-1 opposed. In 2003, voters were presented with a pair of projects that did meet their approval. In a special election in March of that year, Sitkins by wide margins approved the construction of a performing arts center attached to the high school and replacing the flat roofs on local schools with sloped roofs and paying for the local share of both projects with a seasonal sales tax increase to 6% during the two summer quarters. The seasonal sales tax remains in effect while those bonds are paid down. To help things along and to address cost overruns, voters in 2005, by a margin of 70-30, approved transferring $1.8 million in surplus funding from the roofing project and applying it toward the Performing Arts Center. With some success raising the sales tax, municipal officials in 2009 thought they might persuade voters to part with another 0.5% to fund road maintenance, but it failed by a narrow margin. A $7 million general obligation bond for road repairs lost by only 23 votes. The ballot proposition raising the sales tax by 0.5% went down by only 116 votes. Perhaps feeling that they'd reached an unofficial cap in the sales tax, city officials last year turned to the property tax to fund the acquisition and repair of the Hames Center. Voters saw three questions in all: a proposition to buy the center, a proposition to issue $6 million in bonds to repair it, and a charter amendment raising the property tax cap 0.5 mil to pay for it. All failed by margins of around 60-40. And on Tuesday, voters were once again given the opportunity to raise the property tax cap by 0.5 mil to fund road repairs and hospital maintenance, and the margin was comparable to the Hames vote a year earlier, 62% opposed to 38% in favor. From a tax on plastic bags to bonds for a new library, voters across Southeast Alaska made plenty of decisions on Tuesday. Here's a wrap-up of results from across the panhandle, beginning with KRBD's Deanna Garrison in Ketchikan, where voters approved $15 million for a new hydroelectric project.
With absentee and question ballots yet to be counted, the Whitman Lake bond proposition passed handily, with 79% of city voters supporting the proposition. City Mayor Lou Williams III says he's not surprised by the election results.
Voters around here always seem to know what the best thing for the future of Ketchikan is, and more electric power, hydropower, is definitely the way to go. Much cheaper, and nobody wants to pay diesel surcharges, so I'm real happy.
William says the city plans to begin construction on the hydroelectric project this spring. He says it will take about 2 years to build the project. Once it's completed, William says Whitman will increase the city's available hydroelectric capacity by about 10%. Borough Mayor Dave Kiefer coasted to a second term, taking in 89% of the vote. Kiefer received 1,569 votes to challenger Lewis Army's 194 votes. Incumbents and former incumbents ruled the day in the race for 3 3-year terms on the Ketchikan Gateway Borough Assembly. Assemblymember Agnes Moran came in first place, followed by former Assemblymembers Mike Painter and Glenn Thompson. Painter and Thompson could not run for re-election last year due to borough term limits. Thompson was 50 votes ahead of incumbent Assemblymember Jim Shoemaker at the end of Tuesday. Political newcomer Misty Archibald was the top vote-getter in a four-way race for 2 3-year terms on the school board. Assemblymember John Harrington was also elected to the school board. School board member Stephen Bradford came in third place, followed by retired teacher Don Moss. Two incumbents will return to the Ketchikan City Council. There were 3 3-year seats open on the council. Councilmember Marty West took first place, followed by Councilmember K.J. Harris and former Councilmember Sam Bergeron. Voter turnout was 22%. That's down from 24% last October. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
The plastic bag tax failed by over a 2-to-1 margin in Juneau. I'm Matt Miller, and a controversial measure was defeated that would have imposed a 15-cent tax for each plastic bag that shoppers use at some of the major retailers in the capital city. Supporters had pitched the Citizens Initiative as a way to cut down on the bags and the environment, but opponents pointed to a number of flaws, calling it a regressive tax that would have affected most low-income shoppers at major chain stores. Voters also resoundingly rejected another measure that would let city and borough of Juneau officials opt out of state financial reporting requirements. Backers of the proposition worried that the state's financial disclosure requirements would discourage candidates for a municipal office. But proposition opponents, who supported the state requirements, said voters have a right to know about potential financial conflicts of interest for candidates, including financial relationships and the amount and source of any income over $1,000. The city exemption was rejected by well over a 2-to-1 margin. Other issues on the Juneau ballot included extension of a temporary 3% sales tax for another 5 years. That passed. Revenues will go to the city and borough of Juneau operations, some services, and maintenance of roads and sidewalks. A general obligation bond issued to retrofit an elementary school with a ground source heating system passed, as did another bond issue that would replace the artificial turf at a popular field frequently used by soccer and football players from around Southeast Alaska. Voters also decided a handful of fairly non-contentious races for school board and assembly. One three-way race for an assembly seat will likely be decided later. Only 50 votes separate the top two candidates, and 1,400 absentee and question ballots still must be counted. According to preliminary and unofficial results, turnout of registered voters was near the low end of recent years, about 25%. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
KSDK's Charlotte Duren here with the unofficial results for Wrangell's October 4th, 2011 municipal election. 19% of Wrangell's registered voters turned out for this year's election, and on the ballot were two open seats on the Wrangell Borough Assembly, two seats on the Wrangell Medical Center Hospital Board, one seat on the Port Commission, as well as one seat on the school board. Unofficial results as of 8 p.m. October 4th show that Wrangell Borough Assembly Seat A goes to incumbent Wilma Stokes with 221 votes, and Assembly Seat B goes to Don McConaughey with 262 votes. Both are three-year terms, and both candidates ran unopposed. For the two open positions on the Wrangell Medical Center Hospital Board, the seats go to Jake Harris with 181 votes and Dorothy A. Hunt Sweat with 146 votes. They defeated Rhonda Dawson with 131 votes and incumbent Don Hutchinson with 129 votes. The hospital board is a four-year term position. And Brennan Eagle takes the open seat on the Wrangell Port Commission with 282 votes, a three-year term position. And Susan Eagle takes the open seat on the Wrangell School Board with 285 votes, which is also a three-year term position. Both candidates ran unopposed. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Charlotte Duren.
I'm Joe Vicknicki in Petersburg, where voters have approved a bond issue for a new library, but the vote was close. Voters said yes to a $1.5 million bond issue for library construction Tuesday, 51% in favor, 49% against. In unofficial results, the measure passed by a margin of only 38 votes. The bond issue will complete the funding for a planned 9,700-square-foot facility estimated to cost nearly $6.8 million from start to finish. Passage of the bond issue also secures a $500,000 grant from the Rasmussen Foundation, and more than half of the project is funded by a state grant, with the rest coming from private donations. The $1.5 million in local debt for the project will be repaid with an increase in property tax. Voters also approved changes to Petersburg's sales tax Tuesday. Ballot Measure 2 passed by the biggest margin among the ballot questions, with nearly 56% of voters saying yes to the possibility of sales tax free days. That measure will allow the City Council to declare up to 2 days a year free of sales tax on purchases in local stores. And 54% of voters said yes to removing the sales tax exemption for senior citizens and nonprofit organizations purchasing alcohol and tobacco. There was only one contested race for local office, a three-person race for two seats on the Harbor Advisory Board. Candidates for mayor, city council, school board, and committees were uncontested. Nonetheless, the turnout was the highest for a local election in 12 years. A total of 1,010 ballots were cast at the Aquatic Center in Petersburg, along with early ballots turned into the city. That's more than 42% of the registered voters in town. There are a few early voting ballots still outstanding, as well as a few question ballots, but not enough to change the final outcome of the vote. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vignicki.
And that was a wrap-up of election results from some other southeast communities. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for rain, highs around 51, southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, rain, lows around 44, south winds 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, rain likely, highs around 52, south winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. This is KCAW in Sitka.